Awesome, everyone. While the offering's still being taken, didn't these guys do a great job too? A lot of our team's still on holidays. Andrew actually got a scholarship. You guys can finish up. Go. Take your seats. You know, she actually was privileged enough because Notre Dame is such a good university, right, Avina? No? No, you don't want to go back. You want to stay on holidays. Anyway, so, she's in Cambodia for 2 weeks doing an intensive unit as a mature age student because she's very smart, my wife. I feel for her though. I'm glad I'm home because she's sleeping on the wooden floor in a university, so I've been told. And she rolled up one of those exercise mats, a rubber mat, and took it with her as her only bedding. Who's glad they've got their own bed? So that's my wife for the next 2 weeks. Then she catches up with me and we actually go to Margaret River for the last week. And we're back on board for February. But I'm here this week. I'm here tonight at Wellard. Who's here from Wellard? Give me a wave. Welcome the Wellard crew. Nice to have you with us. Who lives in the Wellard area? A few. Well, Waikiki. It's okay too. All the Waikiki people. That's a family. All right. We have a wide range here from 40 minutes away right through to a minute's walk for myself, which is kind of cool. And thank you, Dave Langlands. I'm presuming this was all your handiwork, having our relaxed beach theme. I see you had to put some cricket things down as well, so being the lover of cricket that you are. And I was going to say one more thing, and it's just completely slipped my mind, but Happy New Year! So I thought I'd talk to you today about a few things that that we don't want to remember. And also, come with me, actually. Let's start. Come with me. I want to talk about the title of my message this morning is new. Everyone say the word new. All right? Who knows that new is not old? Turn to your neighbour and say, don't get stale. Don't get crusty. Huh? Don't let the scales get on your life. And, that's good. We still got a wedding happening. Is that happening in a couple of weeks? Is that right? Paul? Claudia? Charlie, you doing that wedding? So we got a wedding happening. So is that soon? 21st. I'm sorry, I'm not coming back from Margaret River, but I'll give you my blessing right now. but hey, these guys are getting married. How good is that? Great to have the Wally family in church. And whoever you are, it's great to have you in church. If you're visiting from overseas, I met a couple of people today from overseas, you're most welcome here today. And so come with me to, where was I? I was talking about Isaiah, wasn't I? And Isaiah 43, come with me to verse 18. I'm going to read a couple of verses. It might be slightly different in here we go, we'll read it from the screen. You got it up there? Let's do it. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Interesting how there's a question mark there. We might come to that in a little while. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's a new year. We determine whether we make it a new year. You and I have the ability to consider all the things that have gone wrong in our life and all the things that we wish we hadn't, or we decide, you know what? I'm taking a stand today. It's a new day. And so the new definition, if you didn't already realise it, just to state the obvious, is this. It's brand new. It's up to the minute. It's up to date. It's the latest. It's current. It's advanced. It's modern. I actually put a new modern shirt on today without my wife's help. And apparently I'm actually quite coordinated. And I did that all on my own. I passed the test, I've been told by the music team this morning. Whew. You know, who's really bad at putting clothes on? Like, who doesn't really care? No? All of you? None of you? Oh, yeah. Bruce and me. Yeah. I'm on your side. I don't really care. And on holidays, well, I'm just a slob. So if you see me on holidays the next, you know, later in January, and I'm just wearing no shoes and a pair of board shorts, I'm still your pastor. It's okay. So anyway, it was David who said, "Let me hear of your unfailing love in the morning. I have come to you in prayer." You know, one of the best things you can do, I did it this morning, and what I do it most mornings, is actually come to the Lord and praise Him. You know what I find? If you want to make it a new day or a new year, it's a good resolution getting married, right? It's good to do the right thing in the house of God and by God's laws. It's good to put Him first and recognize that there's something about actually obeying the commands of the Lord and not just living together. And so when we take a stand and we say, I'm gonna have a new life, who's glad of their new life today? The new life that comes through Christ. And so every day, I need help with what's going to transpire in my world. And so I have to get into that prayer zone. I have to have a moment of praising the Lord. You have to determine whether you're going to get up and praise Him or just keep remembering all the things. Who knows, it only takes about an hour before your whole world just is full. Your mind is just overtaken. And so praise the Lord early. It's a good plan. I often think that Jesus often got up before the sun rose and prayed. And it's a good habit for our lives. The best thing you can do in your day is to pray before the day gets too old. When it's a new day, pray. When the sun gets up, what do? Pray. And so here's a quote from Henry B. Wilson. And I like this very much. He who finds diamonds, who'd like to find some of those? He who finds diamonds must grapple in mud and mire, because diamonds are not found in polished stones, they are made. God needs to make us. It doesn't just occur. It's a process. And so this morning, I've got 4 points that we're going to briefly share, and then I'm going to look at them in a bit more detail. And so first, sing a new song. Say it with me, sing a new song. And so I'll have some scriptures that we can look at if you've got those there. Psalm 33, verse 3. Do we have that? Here we are. Let's say it together. Sing to Him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. All right, let's go to Psalm 40, verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. What else we got here? Psalm 96, 1. Come on, say it with me. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. What's the next one there, Michael? So, there we go. Let's do it together again. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, or an electric guitar. Psalm 149:1, praise the Lord. Say it with me. Come on, let's have some praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, get excited. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of saints. So, secondly, renew your financial commitment to God. It's an incredible thing. We'll look at this in a little while. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honour the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. of all your increase. So your barns will be filled in plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Thirdly, renew your heart and spirit. It says in Ezra 11:19, you got that one for me? Then I will give them one heart and I'll put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. All right. And then Ezra 18:31, have we got that one? Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed. Who's committed a few transgressions in 2016? Am I the only one? Who's committed? Come on, it's an old word. Who did a little naughty in 2016 or a few? We should all have our hands up, right? All right, we might look at this a little bit. Cast away all those naughties which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die? Right? Serious stuff, O house of Israel. Or it could say our church. Let's go to the fourth point. Renew your future. According to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, which is 2 Peter. And then in Revelation 21:1, one of my favourite passages of Scripture. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there will be, I don't like this part, there will be no more sea. All right, we say that quickly. I think the Lord is just joking. I'm pretty sure there's going to be surfing in heaven. And I reckon we'll be able to go diving too, Bruce, just in case you're wondering. All right, so when I read scriptures like, and Sandy, so when I read scriptures like this, it's kind of like, and I'm sure, look, we've read enough together now, like, it's hard not to get inspired by who God is, right? He's an amazing God. And like this, he's always going to do new stuff through us. But we have to allow him to. It's amazing how quiet it gets when you actually just, you know, actually apply God's word a little bit. You have to train your mind to forget your past. Who knows, this is really difficult at times. I found it very difficult at times. 2016 was some of it was very tough. You've got to train your mind to forget your past. What do we got to do? To forget your past. See, we all have negative thoughts about our background, about decisions that we've made. Who's made a few of those badly in 2016? We probably all have. We wish we hadn't. Things we've said that we wish we could retract. You have to train your mind to forget your failures. And so Isaiah 43:18-19 is a really key scripture for what I'm talking about today. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So let's look at this first point a little bit more. Sing a new song. Who'd like to sing a new song? Better than singing an old song, right? Better to sing new songs. I don't actually need to listen. We were discussing this. We were at our little pastor's retreat in Bali. Six couples from C3WA went to Bali for 5 days. And there was only two of us, myself and another guy, that didn't really need music in their life to sing. I just every now and then just sing. I usually make sure no one's around because it doesn't sound good. And listening to Pastor Charlie this morning, I thought I'm in good company. I'm doing well. But it's great to sing. It's great to actually have something on you. Oh, that was a bit naughty of me, really. But anyway, it was funny. Yeah, I know. See, We make mistakes. We do stuff wrong. But at least, at the very least, we can sing a new song. We can actually start to put some praise on our lips. We can say, thank you, Lord. This is a new day today. I thank you for what you're going to bring into my life. You know I've made some mistakes, and sometimes the memory of that thing stays around. But you know what? God's forgotten it already. And I think we have to get a hold of what God is in our life, that He is a new God, and regardless of all the mistakes that we think we've made and all the problems that we've created for ourselves because we've forgotten that God is actually for us, and we allow Him to take control of our lives. We sing about it, don't we? Let's really make Him in control this year. You see, all that bad stuff and everything, it's like God just has control A, delete. It's on my computer. I've got an Android and everything's gone. That's so good. And you know, everything's, I can never find it again. Everything's just vanished. I don't know where it goes. I don't know if it's just, do they have stuff for the, like, I don't know if IT guys can bring that stuff back. Once, can they? Robert, you're nodding. You can bring it back for me. I might need your help. All right. So, but it's gone. It's erased. Who knows? We all need to erase stuff. God's erased it. We remember it. Do not remember the former things. Do not remember the former things. You're feeling terrible as something that God has already forgotten about. Now, if you're anything like me, there's a few things that's still hanging on from 2016. Is there anyone like me? Right here, right now, let's determine that we can just, God's erased it. Now, if we've sinned and we've done some stuff that's against the word of God, yes, we need to come in and repent. Yeah? We have to turn back to God. We have to make a full turnaround and allow God back into our life and recommit our life to Him. But once that's done, it's gone. It's erased. It's gone. So if you're still holding on to stuff, the best thing you can do right now is determine that you're not going to hold that stuff in your heart any longer or have that behavior any longer. You're going to repent. You're going to talk to someone. You're going to get right with God because it's a new year. It doesn't have to be the same this year. It's your choice. And so, let's do not remember the former things. And whilst you're holding on to those former things, you'll find it difficult to sing a new song. If there's sin in your life, you cannot sing a new song. If you're constantly sinning against God, the will of God, you know, it might be sexual sin. It could be continually lying. It could be stealing, whatever it is. You've got to actually, you can't have Lord in your life and still continue to lead your own secret life. Get right and make it a new year. It's going to be okay. God loves us. And so we praise Him. And you know, such joy comes when we praise God. It will change your thoughts. It'll help you to change your confession. When you sing a new song, it's really hard to sing the old song. Yeah? Who likes singing new songs? Who's glad when we sing new songs and not the old songs all the time? You know, that's because we're designed to sing new stuff because God's a creative God. He's always going to do something new in our life. And so when you sing a new song, something else happens. Faith rises in our heart. Faith's going to rise in your heart because you're singing a new song, and immediately because you're singing about God and about His favor on your life and you're committing your life to God, your future is going to be renewed. Oh, that's exciting. You know, there's these two guys. They're quite, Apostle Paul and Silas, and they're actually been doing some great work. And you'll find it in the book of Acts. And I think it's about chapter 13. And these guys, they've been they've been working together and they've been praying for people, healing people and baptizing people, and people have been becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. And then there's this lady who actually works for people above her. She's not in control of her own life, as it were. In fact, she's actually demon-possessed. And she starts sprouting out when she sees Paul and Silas doing all this good work. And Paul's actually talks to her and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out, and the demon leaves her. And what happens next is really interesting, because her master's now got no source of income. It would be like you or I going down to the psychic fair in Fremantle one day. Who knows, we have one of those every year. You know, actually just praying over every single booth, and no one has any business. Who knows that God's all powerful? Yeah. Say it with me, God's all powerful. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's important, right? There's lots of people saying in the name of God in our world today. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all. And so Paul and Silas are acting in that way. And they actually end up getting locked up. And the authorities didn't realize who Paul was, actually. And they end up in the very bottom, in the bowels of the prison. It would have been very dark. They just had a few little lights, candles. And because of the situation, and the masters had told such a great tale, now that this lady had lost her income and wasn't demon-possessed anymore and actually could live a free life, which is really cool. And so they're stuck in the bottom of this jail, and they actually had stocks, steel stocks, around their legs. And so they couldn't actually move. Can you imagine that it's damp? It's like a cave, a limestone cave, which would have been quite smelly, only held for, you know, the worst prisoners. There would have been, I'm sure, vermin running around. No cats to kill them. And so it would have been quite a scene. And the Bible says it's around midnight, and Paul and Silas start praising God. They're actually singing a new song. They're actually singing, and God is in control. Right? God, say it with me, because you can sing better than me. And God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? God is in control. See, that's why I don't sing in public. But you get the point. All right? And so these guys, lucky I'm all good with my own who I am. My identity is secure. It doesn't matter to me if I sing out of key. Thank you, Susan. Whoa, we got a compliment. You know, and so what I'm saying is, and they're singing, God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, join in. God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this is going on. Suddenly, there's an earthquake. Why is that? Because God is in control. God is bigger than any other thing. All the lights go out. Now, I've got something to say. Would that have happened if they had not started to praise their God? In your most difficult situation, the most important thing you can do in life is praise and go to your word and sing about the glorious wonders of your God. And so the jailer thought all the doors just flung open. There's steel doors, and they whoosh, all the doors are open. The jailer thinks, I'm done for. They're going to kill me anyway. I may as well kill myself. He takes a sword and is about to plunge it into his chest. And Paul calls out, no, don't do it. We're still here. Because God, not only through that that faith that Paul and Silas had, and reigniting, I'm sure, a lot of the prisoners' faith in God too at that moment. And so some of them would be singing along, right? I mean, how can you not? God is in control, you know? And so they're all singing, hallelujah. You know, these guys with one eye, you know, and the hallelujah. You know, they're all just getting into it. They're all singing along because it's hard not to, when you praise your Lord, to get involved. And so they're praising God. They're actually lifting their voices to heaven. And then, poof, doors open. All the lights go out. Candles snuffed. Done. Everything's finished. And the jailer's there. Paul says, don't do it. And so the next thing, the jailer's going, I thought you'd gone. I thought my life was over. And they, long story short, what happens is that Paul and Silas get to go to the jailer's household. They all give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ because he says, how can I refuse the name of the Lord after what's just happened? How can I? How can I? His whole household gets baptized and they become disciples of the living God. Disciples. That's what we're called to be. Disciples. We live a new life because we're disciples. We're obeying the word of God. Who'd like to sing a new song in 2017? You don't know what God can do for you. If he can do that for Paul and Silas, he can get you out of whatever predicament you're in, even if it's your fault. God's bigger. He's so much bigger. And so singing a new song will change your perspective. And there will be a change that you see in your mind of how God works. Secondly, renew your financial commitments to God. I think this is such an important one myself because it really is a key. And I see people tied up and bound by financial restraint when actually God has a plan. Come with me to Proverbs 3 verse 9. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Could you open that for me? Thanks, son. Proverbs 3 verse 9. What does it say? Let's have a look at that up on the screen because it might be slightly different to my version. You know there's versions within versions of the New King James Version? Very strange. Anyway, honour the Lord with your possessions. We should say this together. It's a really good verse. Come on, can we say it together? Let's start right now. Honour the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So honour the Lord with your possessions is the first one. Let me ask you a question. Who owns your possessions? God owns your possessions. I know you bought them. I know it feels like that you own them, but actually everything comes from? Everything comes from the Lord. Everything. Everything comes from the Lord. And then it says, and with the first fruits of your increase. And so whatever is incoming, whatever is incoming into your bank account or as cash or an investment, whatever, whatever is incoming, give God first priority with a tenth of that increase. Why? It says it here, it's all in this verse. So your barns will be filled with plenty. So your homes will be filled with more than enough. Who'd like their homes to be filled with more than enough? This is really a fantastic scripture. And then it says, and your vats will overflow with new wine. It is speaking about our households having so much. It's speaking about overflow, more than enough supply. It's speaking about abundance. The vats that are in the storage that hold the wine in the old days, they're overflowing. The reservoir was full. Now, like these days, we have like lots of stainless steel wine vats as well, because I know a little bit about wine, and they're chock-a-block and overflowing. They're seeping into, because that's what God is like. He's a God of the overflow. He's not going to be limited. You know, you can have this little bit. God doesn't operate like that. But we, in our mind, we think that we've got to hold on to. But when we release to God, that's when the new comes. When does the new come? When we release our finances to God, the new comes. But when we hold on to our finances, it's just the same old. So we have to actually make a decision to release so that he can keep the supply going. It's a cycle. And so Isaiah 43, if we go back to verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. When you honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your increase, you can rely on him for the supply. The new wine isn't going to come if you are honoring the Lord with the first fruit. Isn't going to come if you're not honoring him with the first fruits of your increase. If you want a financial breakthrough, you can be praying all you like, but if you're not actually doing what the Word of God says and actually giving him something to work with, he can't provide a miracle. And so we have to work with what the Word of God has given us for our life. And so when you put God in priority, and this year we put our tithe and our giving and on the should be the first couple of lines on our budget and everything else under it, because we honor the Lord. We honor the Lord. That's the first part. We honor the Lord. And so his desire is that we receive an increase. His desire is that we actually receive more. No, you're still not getting it. His desire is that you and I are going to receive an abundance through when we give, that God takes over and the new comes into our life, and there is more than enough for our own lives and those we want to bless. And so, let me illustrate it this way through another great story in the Bible. Abraham was praying for years and years, and it was actually, you know, he's 99 years old when the story starts, for a son. Long time. And we know from the story that ultimately God gave him not only a son, but a whole nation, and it continues on. We're part of that. And so God says to Abraham, go up this mountain. You see this land? I'm giving it to you. I'm going to give you, because it all started because Abraham gave a tenth of his possessions to Melchizedek, the high priest. There was this battle, and he could have actually bargained with the world. So we can rely on the world system. And this is where, you know, I had just as an example, I had our bank, I won't name names, but I had our bank in the other week, and one of the first questions they always ask me is, do your people give a 10% to the church? And I go, yes, because they always get an increase, and they just look at me like, strange, you know, because it works in reverse to the world system. We don't bargain with the world. And Abraham refused to give stuff to Sodom, the world. He refused. He said, no, I'm going to give it to Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ. That's where my funds go, because I serve heaven. And when we serve heaven, blessing comes on our life. And that's when he expanded and he got the son Isaac. And then, you see, it's all the whole laying down principle. He had to lay Isaac down. And he actually prepared all the wood, and he actually got the fire going. And then at the very last moment, he sort of says, well, God, where's the answer? Because I've laid my son down on the altar, but you know how long I've wanted a son. And please, I don't get this. Like, if it was me, I'd be doing, like, I don't understand. Why am I having to lie my only son that I've been waiting for 100 years now, and you're going to take it away? But as we lay down, he provides the answer. There's a ram caught in the bushes. He says, great, grab that. And then God opens up the whole world for him. When we lay down, God raises up. It's a tough principle, but it's worthwhile. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And so thirdly, renew your heart and spirit. Say it with me, renew your heart and spirit. Here we go. And so a new thing is a new thing. It's not old. You are not relying on old revelation, past experience, other people's faith. If we're, you know, we can be living a life based on our parents. We've got to live our own life in Christ. What you have always done, you can think, well, I've always done it this way. But is it the way that the Lord wants you to do it? You are fresh, you are new, because God is with you every day. And so the new man lays down the old in order to receive the new. And so, as I've said, Abraham did that. But you know, it's interesting to me that before that, he tried to do things his own way. Before Isaac came along, he actually didn't think that he was able to have a child. And in those days, not having a son particularly or any child was seen as a curse almost. And so Sarah, his wife, or Sarai at the time, said, maybe you should sleep with my maidservant Hagar. So Abraham agreed to do that. They took life into their own hands rather than waiting for God. You know, sometimes it's better to wait for God than actually cause more trouble for your life. And just because things aren't turning out the way that you think they will work out, it's still better to wait than to get yourself into more trouble. And so Ishmael comes along, and it was a lot of trouble, and a lot of trouble in the family, and he was a bit of a wild man. All of it would have been avoided. Now, God blessed them anyway because they got their hearts back right with God. Aren't we grateful for such a loving God in that respect? You know, but there was this angst between Sarah and Abraham because they were doing things out of the will of God. But when you get in the will of God, and it's better to wait and still be in the will of God than try and do something that you think's the right thing. Oh, I'll go over there. I'll try. Maybe there's someone for me a long way away. But they really need to have the same values and the same principles and the same Christian beliefs as you if it's ever going to work. And so we have to actually be reliant on what God has. Our best life is because we're new every day in faith, trusting Him. And so we have the capacity in us to do the right or the wrong thing. Let's choose the new way. I will even make a road in the wilderness. Isaiah continues, it's the last part of that scripture in Isaiah 43. I will make a way in the wilderness. When it appears that there's no way forward, God is preparing His provision. He's going to have a plan. Hagar ends up actually out under a tree. She didn't even realize there was a well nearby because she'd lost her vision. She'd lost her purpose, but God restores. God brings it back, and she ends up having a fantastic family. It's the God that cares for us when we actually take the time to do things the way He wants us to do them. And so Abraham replies, my son, God will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. And at the crucial time, God yelled, stop, because he was in the will of God, it turned out all right. Okay, so put on the new man because God has a brand new plan for you. Lastly, renew your future through heaven. Say it with me, renew your future through heaven. In the beginning, God created the heavens, it says in Genesis 1:1. You know, interesting scripture in Matthew 16:9, which Pastor Phil Pringle, if you've got the time, you can go to that at C3 Hepburn Heights on the 31st of January. I would encourage you to do that, actually. Pastor Phil Pringle, the president of C3 Global, this is one of his key scriptures, which I'm about to read out for you. Matthew 16:9. He preaches it a lot. And I will give you, it says this in Matthew 16:9, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's a different scripture altogether, isn't it? Never mind, get rid of that one. I've obviously put the wrong verse down. So first the heavenly world, and then the spiritual world dominates in the physical world. So Revelation 21, which we've read out, now I see a new heaven and a new earth. If you want to change your natural world, you have to start affecting your heavenly world. So you need to change frequencies. Now, some of you have seen the war movies, because I know we don't have radios very much now. They just kind of just push the button. But we used to turn a dial. Everyone remember that? Who's old enough? You'd find the right, frequency, the right thing that you wanted to listen to. See, we need to tune into the world of the Spirit. And when you do, God has the keys of the kingdom of heaven for us. And how did Abraham know God was going to provide for him? How do you know? Because Abraham tuned into the realm of the Spirit. He was prepared to go to the very end where it looked like he was going to have to sacrifice his own son. The very thing that he wanted all his life. He had gone to his future in God. He received a gift of faith. He knew God would provide. And so if you're reacting to your physical world by always complaining, it's a good idea to actually think about the amount of things that you're grumbling about and change some of those habits. Because things always go wrong in your world, right? Things always go wrong in my world. And I think we're all the same. We live in a broken world. Everything, all the time, things are going to go wrong. And so if I'm in the morning and I'm like I started with this message today, if I get up first thing and I decide not to praise the Lord, it's within a few seconds, actually, that I start to think about the negative. Who knows? We are actually, the first thing that we think about is always the negative. And that's why I like at our church that we have good news and that we change our confession, that it's confident, that it's new, that we're saying, well, that might have been, but I'm trusting God and I thank you, Lord, regardless of my situation right now, I thank you that God's going to do a new thing. Amen. You've got to be that way. Otherwise, you'll be miserable and you'll have no friends anyway. So you might as well be happy and be positive. And so, you know, it doesn't take much. If I do nothing, weeds are going to grow in my mind. Weeds are going to grow. I don't have to do anything for weeds to grow in my garden. They just appear. I was away for 5 days and there's weeds. You know, I believe it was hot the last, few days. And the weeds, they don't seem to care. They sprout anyway. You don't have to do anything. We determine how we live our life. We allow the weeds to grow or we actually take on the new things in our life. And so initiate the positive. We're looking forward to new heavens and a new earth and a new future because our faith is firmly planted in the Lord. And so, in closing, sing a new song. Say it with me. Sing a new song. Secondly, renew your financial commitments to God. What do you got to do? Renew your financial commitments to God. Thirdly, renew your heart and spirit. And last, renew your future. Renew your future. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, we thank you today that you are an amazing God. Lord, I pray today. Come on, just pop out your hands for a moment if you don't mind. Lord, we thank you for this new year. We thank you, Lord, that you're an incredible God. And I pray today, Lord, that every single person here, Lord, would determine to make a step of faith and take on the new that is you rather than the old, rather than the crusty, rather than those things that are past experience. Lord, we remember not the former things. And if there's things in our heart that we need to repent of, Lord, I pray that we would take the courage today, whoever we are, to turn around from those things, to confess them to one another and get right with you so that we could live in the newness of God and see the blessing of God and the miracle working power of God over our life in 2017. The people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great new year. Right through January. Go to the beach. See you soon. If you're coming to Wellard, 5 o'clock.